This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. You send your little ones off to school to learn the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is, if you stop and think about it, a slogan created by someone who obviously never attended school. Writing and arithmetic don't begin with R, but I digress. In New York State, an organization is working hard to bring another important element to education, good nutrition. What does what children eat have to do with how well they learn? Let's find out. Amy Hamlin is Executive Director of the Coalition for Healthy School Food. Amy, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Amy, tell us about the Coalition for Healthy School Food. When and where did it begin and why?
Well, we feel like children go to school to learn, and sometimes they might have two meals a day. Some kids even have three meals a day at school, plus snacks. Yeah. And if children aren't learning about healthy eating at home or aren't bringing healthy food with them to school, they better have healthy food in school. We need to model what's healthy for kids because food preferences are developed early on in life. And it makes a big impact.
So this is a combination of not only providing information to the school to provide healthy foods and snacks, you're also educating the kids as well. Do you hold classes in this or something for them?
Well, we do two different things. One is we develop nutrition education resources, which anyone can use.
Okay. All
right. And they're available on our website, which is healthyschoolfood.org. And then we also have a curriculum that we teach directly in New York City. And eventually we'll roll it out so that teachers who want to teach it can do that.
Okay, so you're based in New York City and you're also providing these programs in New York City, but anyone can get on board if they just go to your website and get the resources. Is that right?
That's right. In fact, we used to be called the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food, and we started out as a statewide organization. But the fact is our recipes have been distributed to 25,000 schools nationwide.
Wow. Wow.
Our resources are used in thousands of schools all around the country. And so we dropped the New York part of it, and we have significant programming in New York City, but we also have programming in other places as well.
Well, that begs the question then, Amy, that a lot of people are thinking, why? Why would you do that? Why would you go to a school and educate a young person about nutrition? Why would you educate the school about nutrition? Why are these recipes going everywhere? What is wrong with the food that the United States government is making available to the students in the schools across the nation?
Well, Charles, as you know, the nutrition policy in our country is very influenced by the food industry.
Yes.
The U.S. Dietary Guidelines, and then the My Plate Guide, which used to be the pyramid and now is My Plate, really is what the school meals are supposed to be based on. And it is getting better. It's better than it used to be, but there are still a lot of problems. And personally, I have an issue that my tax dollars, all of our tax dollars, pay for this food, and some of this food contributes to disease instead of contributing to health. And so I want kids in school to be having role modeled the healthiest possible food. I want them to be able to eat healthy at school, so if they're not eating healthy at home, at least they're getting healthy food at school. And if they are eating healthy at home, then the school is not sending a different message than what the kids are getting at home.
Now, way back in the dim, dark past of my life, I was a school teacher, and I remember learning about healthy foods and how we need to eat healthy foods. And I said to my young people in the class, okay, let's, from now on, here's a menu. Let's bring whole wheat bread, or let's have vegetables and fruits. And I heard from the parents. The parents said, now, wait a minute, why are you telling my children what to eat? Are you also receiving some pushback from parents on this program?
Not really, no. And I mean, I certainly know that some parents don't like if their kids can't get French fries at school,
yes,
but I feel like people are starting to understand that a whole foods, plant-based diet is really the healthiest. And I think even if they're not eating that way, I think they know it's a good thing. They know it's not so unusual. And essentially, nobody is telling anybody how they have to eat. But this is food paid for by our tax dollars. And why should we be providing food that's unhealthy? Our tax dollars should only be paying for healthy food. And furthermore, schools are the place where kids go to learn. It's not lost on many kids that what's available in schools to eat is very different from what they're learning about nutrition, albeit what they're learning about nutrition is still influenced by the food industry. It doesn't even match those standards.
Now, when you say that you want to give them healthy foods, who is determining that the foods that you are advocating, the whole food plant-based diet, who is determining that this is healthy? I mean, the government is supposed to say, no, French fries are healthy, and you're saying, no, they aren't healthy, you need to have this. What are the battle lines here, and who is running the armies on these two sides?
Well, I think the research is actually pretty clear. The only research that isn't clear, the research that casts doubt, which is the goal of the food industry, is to cast doubt.
Yes.
But the research is very clear. So unless the research is paid for by the food industry, it's very clear that a whole foods, plant-based diet helps people maintain a healthy weight. It helps them prevent heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and many forms of cancer and autoimmune diseases. And so we know what healthy food is. And the U.S. dietary guidelines, really, they are starting to move in that direction. But there are still some major problems.
You're absolutely right, because, you know, if you look closely at this, the United States government is subsidizing the meat industry just tremendously, but there's not a whole lot of subsidy going to broccoli growers out there. Is that going to change? Does that need to change? And if it does, how do we make it change?
These food industries are very, very powerful, and you're right. The subsidies are exactly opposite to what's healthiest. So there's very little subsidies for fruits and vegetables and a whole lot for meat and dairy and sugar. But I also have to say that I don't really know the intricacies of it, but the fruit and vegetable people say they don't want subsidies. I know there's some fine details that I don't understand, but the bottom line is, whether they're called subsidies or something else, I'm not sure why our tax dollars are supporting the food that is the least healthy, or that's actually unhealthy. Why would our tax dollars be supporting that, except that there is a very powerful industry behind it? This industry, who is very upset about the proposed dietary guidelines that are best for your health and best for the environment, that have been proposed for the new guidelines that are supposed to come out later this year. So these new guidelines say your diet should be primarily plant-based and you should eat less animal products. So the animal product industry is really very upset about this and fighting against it and claiming that this isn't scientific, when in fact these recommendations were made by expert scientists based on scientific research. Now the World Health Organization is also planning to declare red meat and processed meat a probable carcinogen, which is the highest level of carcinogen or cancer-causing items. And the food industry is hoping that the World Health Organization, or they're lobbying for the World Health Organization, to change it to possible carcinogen instead of probable, because possible, you can still cast some doubt.
Yes.
And that's their strategy, is to cast doubt on the research so that they can say, well, it might be true, it might not be true. They can make people wonder. But if they're successful in telling the truth, that it is a probable carcinogen, then that could really change how people eat. And so they're fighting that too. So these recommendations, they make it into the schools. So for example, milk does not have to be served. but it must be offered. Mm-hmm. Kids don't have to take it, but it has to be there. Mm-hmm. And it's even part of a law that you can't do anything to discourage it.
Hmm.
And most people feel like, well, milk, you need milk. It does the body good. It builds strong bones. Well, actually, there's now research that shows milk does not build strong bones.
Yes.
And the dairy industry, they don't say milk builds strong bones anymore because they can't, because they know it's not true. They say it contains calcium, and that's true.
Yeah.
And in all of our minds, calcium builds strong bones.
Yes.
But they're not saying it directly anymore. So, okay, if they used to think that milk built strong bones, and that's why it was on the menu of schools or why it was recommended, now they're saying we need it for protein and magnesium, but we don't need more protein.
Right.
We have too much.
Yeah.
And you can get magnesium from many commonly eaten whole plant foods. In fact, in much higher quantities than it occurs in milk.
Well, I can see, Amy Hamlin, listening to you here and talking with you, I can certainly see that you know your stuff and you know why you're doing what you're doing. We're talking with Amy Hamlin. She is Executive Director of the Coalition for Healthy School Food based in New York City and covering that state and elsewhere by their website. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I want to ask you a very direct question. I'm sure that parents who are listening to this program want to know. What happens when a child follows the whole food plant-based diet? Is there actually a measurable change in their ability to learn at school? And we'll learn more about that from our teacher today, Amy Hamlin, on a return, so stay right where you are.
Did you know that last year in the United States, over 4 billion prescriptions were written? Prescription medications seem to be the most popular treatments these days. But what can we do if we want to limit our exposure to prescription medications? At Heartwise, we recognize the importance of nutrition in treating and prevention of disease. Dr. Hippocrates stated, "Let food be thy medicine." Many evidence-based studies support a whole food, plant-based diet. But how is this achieved in the fast-paced world we live in today? We want to encourage those interested in this type of treatment to watch the documentary film Plant Pure Nation and visit the website plantpurenation.com. This is a great first step towards helping yourself move towards better health and helping make the world a better place. Visit plantpurenation.com to start your journey today. That's plantpurenation.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. James Markham. I want to give you three things today that will help improve your health and change the chemistry of the entire body. The first is drink water. Did you know that 70% of Americans don't drink enough water every day? Sounds easy, so why don't you drink some water? The second is make sure you get enough rest, both a weekly rest as well as a nightly rest. Make sure you break your routine once a week. Maybe turn off the TV or the computer 1 hour earlier every night. The third thing I would suggest is get up and move. Even if you can't get in an exercise program, which I recommend, at least get out of the chair and move around the room every hour. If you'll do these three things, this will change the chemistry of the entire body. Remember, a pill just changes one chemical pathway. To learn more, I want you to go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Amy Hamlin, Executive Director of the Coalition for Healthy School Food. And they're based in New York City, and they are trying to bring nutrition education into the schools, as well as nutrition itself, good food, into our schools. And Amy, people will say, okay, why are we doing that? We want to live healthy. Is there a measurable difference between a classroom full of kids who eat whole food plant-based and those that eat the standard American diet? Has there been any way of knowing that that actually changes minds enough to make learning more clear and more possible?
we were responsible for getting two schools to switch to a vegetarian menu.
Uh-huh.
And those menus, about half the time, the entree is actually a whole foods, plant-based, and then the other half the time there would be cheese.
Uh-huh.
And in those two schools, the kids are eating much healthier than, let's say, kids having a standard menu.
Uh-huh.
The principal of one of those schools says that attendance is up, sickness is down, they scored number 11 in the state on the standardized testing, and so he feels like it really does make a difference. Now, just but from a strictly scientific point of view, we can't absolutely prove that. There's other factors.
Mm-hmm.
But this school does make health a priority, and the kids in that school are certainly eating a lot more fruits and vegetables than you normally see kids eating. And then half the days they're getting a plant-based entree with their lunch. So we like to think that it is making a difference, and I think it goes without saying that if you're nourishing your body with the foods that it needs versus highly processed foods, that your brain is going to function better and your body is going to function better, and then you're going to be able to concentrate more and be sick less.
Well, Amy, I can back that up because I have talked to a lot of professionals over the years on this very subject, education, health education in schools and using good food, especially organizations like the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine out of Washington, D.C. They also have a school program, and they have discovered the same thing. It is anecdotal. I mean, they don't have scientific studies, but when you go and you talk to the principals, you talk to the school teachers, they're going to say, man, attendance is up, truancy is down, the kids are better behaved, the kids are not so hyper, their grades have gone up. This is almost across the board. Every time this kind of diet and education comes into a school, these are the stories I'm hearing across the board. So I think you're really onto something, Amy, and I'm so glad you're doing it in New York. Now, the question I want to ask you here is, if a parent is listening to this program right now and says, you know, I want to have this in my school. I want to have my children go to a school that supports nutrition and supports good eating so that my kid can have the best possible brain and body during the learning experience. What can that person do?
Well, first of all, it is not an easy process. It's something you have to be in for the long haul. So I don't want to discourage people, but I also want to give them a realistic picture.
Uh-huh.
They need to talk to the food service director. It's very important that they not go in and be critical,
mm-hmm.
because the food service directors work with very low budgets, with a lot of very strict regulations. They work very hard. They care. And so just going in and complaining and telling them to change, that's just not how you create change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the first thing.
Very good.
The second thing is if you do encounter a food service director who's not receptive, then you can go to the school superintendent. And if that person isn't receptive, go to the school board.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not successful, go to the media. So, you know, there's steps that parents can take. But if you go to our website, there are recipes there that meet all the school guidelines that can be shared with schools. These recipes have been shared with 25,000 schools nationwide so far.
Uh-huh.
And so parents can share those recipes with their food service director. The best thing they can do is ask how they can help. How can they help make this possible? And be willing to put in some of their own time because, you know, these food service departments, they're self-sufficient. They don't get money from the school budget. They do get federal reimbursements for the kids receiving free and reduced price lunches and even a little bit for the kids paying full price. And then the money that the kids pay who do pay for their lunch. But it's their own budgets. It's kind of crazy. Like, we would never expect the math department to come up with their own budget. But that's what happens with school food. And so the amount of money, for example, for a lunch, the school has about a dollar for the food cost. I'm not talking about the labor and overhead.
Mm-hmm.
But the food cost itself, the school has to offer a five-component meal, and they have about a dollar to do that with.
A dollar per kid you're talking about.
A dollar per kid, and that's for a protein component,
wow.
a grain, a fruit, a vegetable, and a milk.
Mm.
And so the milk alone is almost a quarter of that,
yeah.
you know, 22, 24 cents. if they would stop offering milk, then they would have a lot more to put into healthy food.
That's true. That's true. Okay, so I'm getting the picture here, and I believe that you have said it perfectly, that if you want to make a change, go in and be part of the change. Go in and volunteer yourself. Go in and volunteer information. Go in there and just say, look, let's make our kids healthier. What can I do to help? Here are some ideas. Here is a website. And then try to be supportive of that cafeteria, of that food service department. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to understand is if you go in and say, why can't we make homemade miso soup? Well, miso is expensive,
yes,
they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Or if they said, why can't we have organic berries every day? Well, they can't afford it.
Yeah.
It's very important when you go in and talk to a food service director to recognize their extremely limited budget and all of the difficult regulations that they have to deal with and how limited their time is. Look at the recipes on our website. Some of them are available where you can cook for 50, but we also have many available in family size recipes. And you could make this recipe, the family size, take it in for the food service director and some of the kitchen staff to try.
Yes.
Because that would be a helpful thing to do. Don't just talk about it. Make it. Take it in there for them to try. I think it's also really important to educate. Because if you can get the people who are doing this work to care about this and understand it from their own personal perspective, that could really be helpful. So we have educational resources. We have PowerPoints that we can share for the adults. And we have a Family and Consumer Sciences curriculum, which is available for free on our website. So it's recipes that middle school students can make, and it is PowerPoint program for the students that the teacher can show to the students. This program can also be used as an after-school program, like a cooking program in after-school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the resources.
All right.
Another resource, which is meant for use in the school, but it's actually a fantastic resource for parents to learn more about nutrition too. And it's called Wellness Wake Up Call.
Mm-hmm.
And this is intended to be read over the loudspeaker each morning. It's nutrition education in the form of an easy-to-digest sound bite that doesn't take more than 10 to 20 seconds a day. And it's written by registered dietitians, and each month is a different topic, and each month there's a recipe. Those messages in that recipe can go home to the parents at the end of each month. The parents can then review them with their children, and then the parents can also learn it.
My, there are so many wonderful resources available. That website, healthyschoolfood.org, healthyschoolfood.org. I recommend that you go there and check it out. Lots of resources there to help make your families and your schools and your kids healthy as can be. Our time has flown by. Amy Hamlin, Executive Director of the Coalition for Healthy School Food, a nonprofit organization. Thank you so much for being with us today and opening our eyes. You've given us many words of wisdom. I appreciate that, Amy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Amy Hamlin, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.